This is Owensboro, Kentucky, the capital the capital of bluegrass, so to speak. And I'm the oldest guy on this panel, I'm pretty sure, so I'll see. December 8th, 1945 was when Scruggs joined Monroe. Exactly 17 years later, was that right? 17, yes. December 8th, 1962, there I was at Carnegie Hall watching Flatt and Scruggs at the famous concert there. I was 16, and New York was one of the hotbeds. There were hotbeds in a lot of places, as we talked about Palo Alto being a hotbed yesterday, and there was a lot of people. For instance, Sam Bush was already playing music, and a lot of people were playing music, but only some people got on records and started touring and that kind of stuff. And I was lucky to live in the town where Rounder Records started, so I got to be on a pretty early Rounder record. And that was an interesting year, 1971. The word boys disappeared from the new names. There is even the J.D. Crow and the Kentucky Mountain Boys became the New South. And there was the Country Gazette, not the Country Gazette Boys, just Country Gazette, and a seldom seen country cooking band I was in and other ones. And that was a watermark in a way, 25 years really after the beginning of bluegrass as we know it with Bill. By the way, Bill, when I interviewed him on the radio back in 66, and I mentioned 1945 was the beginning of bluegrass, he instantly corrected me, because he formed the Bluegrass Boys in 1938 and first appeared in 39. From his point of view, that's the beginning of bluegrass. But most people disagree, but not in front of him. And the Ryman Auditorium has a plaque on it saying this is where bluegrass was first played. And I'd say that's accurate, because that was the first gig of Scruggs with them. And then going on through time, the first bluegrass festivals didn't happen until 65, the first weekend bluegrass festivals. And the first one was really small. I was there, and a select few people were there. It was $6 a head, and there might have been 600 people there. That's my rough guess. Do the math. It's not enough to pay almost anybody. $6 for the entire weekend with Doc Watts and the Stanley Brothers, Reno and Smiley and Jimmy Martin and, of course, Bill Monroe. They made a big thing about that. And the next year at this festival, they announced the first Bluegrass magazine, 1966, Bluegrass Unlimited. And now people could actually find out stuff. You know, there was not much of a grapevine until then, but once you were subscribing to Bluegrass Unlimited, whatever there was happening would be advertised, and people would write in letters and record reviews and all that, and that really created a new surge. And then another 20 years later, it was when the IBMA started right here in Owensboro, and that was now a place where everybody could get together and network, and showcases would happen, and, you know, you get to hang out in what they call the hospitality suites, which became known as the hostility suites. But everybody was nice, and I got to hang out with all these people that I really respected and talk to them, and that was back a long time ago. We're talking now close to 40 years ago. And then the explosion sort of started happening off that, because it became worldwide. There's bluegrass in almost any country you name. There's somebody playing bluegrass, and there's good bands. One of the most interesting bands is from Korea. They can hardly speak English, and their name is Country Gong Bang. And they are aware of the weirdness of that name. And now IBMA, they ran out of room in the hotels in Owensboro. That's the biggest reason we moved from Owensboro, and the headquarters of IBMA moved down to Nashville. And the meetings of the IBMA would happen in Louisville and also Nashville. And now, lately, we're at the end of our long time in Raleigh, North Carolina, soon to find out where the next time is. But we could name off some of the really famous people that have made bluegrass records now. from Beyonce on down. She's in the news as a new country star. She has a banjo on this recent hit record. But, you know, people like Alan Jackson, people like Willie Nelson has a bluegrass record. And Steve Martin, of course, got into bluegrass in a pretty noticeable way, Dolly Parton. And once you get infected into the industry that used to, there used to be a saying in the 1980s when I was in a bluegrass band trying to make it, the Hot Rise Band, which was the banjo is the kiss of death. If you put a banjo on a record, nobody's going to listen to it. They'll instantly change over to Walter Cronkite or somebody.
I see you over there, Kyle.
Is there anybody here who switched over to Walter? Anyway, that's enough. I just want to make sure we got some outline of the history like that, because a lot of people, 1973 was their first year because that was the year of Olden in the Way, and they were a real synthesizer kind of band, so to speak. They played real good bluegrass a la Bill Monroe, with lots of meaning behind it and everything, but they also had new material that had different chord changes. They had Vassar Clements playing something that's hard to describe, and the first word you'd use would not be bluegrass fiddler, because he was just so interesting and creative all over the place. And then, you know, people like Jerry's origins in bluegrass and Vince Gill's origins in bluegrass, Ricky Skaggs' origins in bluegrass, gave bluegrass a new kind of credibility. And we have now a Hall of Fame here, you know, with a lot of great people in it. And that's enough to say, but over to the next person.
Well, I guess I kind of want to start with Drew over here. In my opinion, where we're at right now with bluegrass, at least on the bigger levels, Leftover Salmon was one of the bands that really paved the way for where we're at in terms of, you know, you go from Leftover to Yonder to Infamous Stream Dusters, Green Sky, up through Billy, Molly, Sierra, and then Sierra Farrell. Where were you kind of in what your intent was? I mean, I would surmise it probably wasn't an intent. You just enjoyed playing, and then it developed into something. But when you think about where you started and where it is, what do you see right now?